Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back, All the Smoke 2022. We in the building with some new merch on. I know y'all see it. Unlikely you don't see it.
You see it.
Tell them, Jack.
They see it.
They see it. Man, we want to welcome to the show one of the bright young talents in the WNBA. And I'm going to do this in two parts. Sabrina, and then I'm going to let you announce your own last name because I think it's the most mispronounced name in sports.
Ionescu.
No, you still fucked it up.
Ionescu.
Yes.
Everyone out there, stop fucking it up.
Yes,
put some respect
please.
On it, damn it. That's why I didn't want to, because I wasn't sure. I was like, let me just have her tell the world what it really is so we can get off to a good start.
I'm just going to call you Brina.
That's fine.
All right, cool. Yeah.
So, Bay Area girl, Walnut Creek, to be exact, shout out the Bay. Tell us about your upbringing. I know you're really close-knit family. Talk to us about what life in Walnut Creek was like.
Yeah, born and raised. Love the Bay. Rep, you know, the Warriors. Always went to the games. But, you know, grew up with two brothers, immigrant family. They all immigrated here. So, it was a grind, like, growing up, you know.
From where?
Romania. Immigrated from Romania. I came from Europe and drop us off at the park half the time. We'd play for 10 hours a day and then go to school. And so it's been great. I love the Bay. I always go back and
You're a twin. I got twins. I have identical 13-year-old boys, but you have a twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
What's that dynamic like? Because I remember the twins like having their own little language when they were little. They couldn't even speak yet, but we'd have them on the baby monitors and they'd be going back and forth laughing like, what the hell are they talking about? Did you guys have any kind of special twin stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, he said that was his first word. My first word was his name.
Really?
His first word was my name. But
love it.
Honestly, it's a whole different world. Like, people really don't get how close twins actually are. And we do absolutely everything together. I probably wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him, because we got in fist fights. We punched each other, beat each other's asses on the court, like, did absolutely everything. So he's really pushed me to, you know, become, you know, what I am today. And honestly, still does.
Love it.
How did you find the game of basketball? Like, at what age? I know you said they dropped you off, but when did you fall in love with the game?
I was probably in like third or fourth grade, and I was between tennis and basketball. And tennis, you need a partner, and my brothers would just like want to hoop. So I ended up being like, all right, I'm not hitting it against, you know, the wall to myself. So I got bored and I was like, all right, I'll go hoop then too. So from that age, like third, fourth grade, the men were there at lunchtime and I was like, all right, I want to play too then. Let's go. And so ever since then, I fell in love with the game and haven't been able to put the ball down.
You knew you had it.
Are you better than your brother? Or when did you pass him, if you
Absolutely.
Are? When did you? I know he won't admit it, but when did you pass your brother in hooping?
In high school. It took me a little while.
And you know how mad I'd be if my sister could ever say she could whoop my ass in basketball?
He's still mad. And I play pro, and he's still mad.
I feel it.
I have to admit, at one point, my older sister was one of the top players in Texas, and she beat me a couple times. Ooh. Like for a year.
Ooh.
That shit stopped quick.
Well, he uses his strength. Like, when we used to play and, like, I'd beat him, and then he'd be like, all right, and then he'd just back me down, back me down, get into the keys. Like, now what you gonna do? I'm like, bro, that's not even fair. Straight up, let's just play. Right. Yes.
He said, fuck it, I'm gonna win it one way or another.
Who did you idolize growing up?
I idolize Steph for sure, being from the Bay. And right. Yeah, growing up and him coming in as just that young rookie. And you remember that people were a little, do we like him? Yeah, do Jack, we not?
Jack, I was on the team. Remember?
You were on the team.
Yeah, I
because it was the Monte.
Because he didn't believe in Steph.
I didn't believe in the organization as a whole.
Well, that's a big
well it was the Monte Ellis, like, yeah. Do we keep Monte or is it believe. The Steph?
Yeah. Yes. All of them are gone, and I was the last old head there. Yeah. I'm like, I can't be here with a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
I can't go out with none of them.
Definitely couldn't do that.
Steph was a baby.
Yeah.
He was, what, like 18, 19?
Yeah, 19, yeah. But I admit it. I had no idea he was going to be who he is today. I admitted that.
Your
but
your disclaimer?
But he knew. Once I when I told him why I was leaving, he was like, you've been, it's the end of your career. You want to go somewhere and try to win a championship. But, yeah, I regret that.
So, Steph?
Yeah, Steph. Becky Hammon on the women's side.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll talk about her a little later.
I loved watching her at the point guard position. Kobe with the Lakers, for sure. I mean, that was our Michael Jordan.
Of course.
Of this era. Yeah, so... Steve Nash at the point guard position. I watched so much like NBA growing up with brothers, so that was really like who I watched, idolized, and even now like Diana Taurasi, and it's crazy because we're playing in the league together. Yeah. And it's like I remember being young and watching her, and I'm like, yeah, she is about 20 years older than I am.
Crazy,
so.
Right?
Who would you say you pattern your game after?
I would say I really try and take a little bit of everybody.
That's what all the greats say.
Yeah. It's like I try and take, like, ever since I was young, it's like, oh, I like the way Steph shoots. All right, I'm going to shoot from really far. But then it's like, but I really like how Steve Nash comes off the pick and roll, so I watched that. And then I would just take little things of players that I liked and was like, all right, I'm going to watch film on Luka Doncic, how he's able to pull back. And it's just like finding all the players that I like and trying to put them all in one.
You know, it's funny you say that, because we just had Roy Jones on the show.
Mm-hmm. Boxer.
He said he took something... from all 12, the greats.
Lifted like 12 greats.
Yeah.
And took one thing from all of them. And
but it's cool you could do it with other sports too.
Yes.
Like I really like watch other sports and it's like, oh, that footwork's different. And that could be used on the court. Or like even tennis, like how quick they are laterally and able to push off. Like I like watching other sports too because I think it could give you an advantage. Yeah.
What do you remember most about high school? 119-9. Gee whiz.
That's not a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I didn't lose much.
School record. 2,600 points?
Yeah.
Put in the basket, I guess you could say.
I guess you could shoot a little bit.
I guess you could say that shit.
How was high school?
It was great. The hard part was I never lost. So when I got to college, it was like a rude awakening. I lost 7, I think, in my first year in college. And I was like,
end of the world.
I'm new
I can't
to this.
Lose. Yeah, I almost transferred. I was like, this is awful. And it was like 7. But high school was the best. Just like 8 hours of school and then it's like, all right, I'm gonna go hoop now. And then you have a game and it's like, oh, I had 44 last night. And then you go the next game and it's the next day. It was fun and like youthful. And then as you keep going, like more pressure, harder games, like injuries. It just, yeah, but high school was fun.
Me and you both won the
Here
McDonald's.
Here we go.
What? Me and you both won the McDonald's MVP.
But she actually got the trophy.
I know, but...
What happened to your trophy?
So I had... No, I didn't actually get the trophy. I had the best stats. I was a leading scorer. Everything by far. And Kobe said he thought
this,
I won.
Yeah, this is what Stanton was Cubs said. You didn't win it?
And me and Kobe graduated.
Jack probably peed on himself when Cubs said
Kobe was the 2-guard. I was the 3-guard. 96. I balled out. Everybody knew it. He said I won MVP because he thought I won it because I had the best game. So in my mind... I won.
You won it.
Question. And you both won the MVP of the McDonald's game. How did that feel? I know how it felt for me, but how did it feel for you?
Dick is crazy.
Honestly, I went in super under the radar. I was the only player that hadn't committed to a college. All the other players were like UConn, Stanford, Tennessee.
South Carolina.
The big dogs.
The big dogs. And I was the only one that was uncommitted. And so I just remember like before the game when the media comes in, like I had 0 interviews. Not one person came up to interview me. And I was like, all right, like this is going to motivate me. So I showed up to the game. I came off the bench and then I was like, all right, I'm going to just shoot. And I hit like 7 threes and then 1 MVP. And I was like,
see,
all right, this is the start of
next time
all
you
the
motherfuckers
haters.
Better interview me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
I mean, I think she had the the it factor that she could have went out of high school.
Yeah.
I think just the how everybody was talking about you and how your name was ringing, mm-hmm. you know, going into college. Everybody like, she can be one of the ones, first women to go straight out of high school. Well, that would have been dope.
That would have been cool. Yeah, there's so many rules, though. I think you have to be 21.
Yeah. You have to be three years removed from high school.
That sucks.
3 years removed and you have to be 21 or graduate from college.
I think that's like football. That's how they do football, right?
That sucks.
Yeah, that's crazy. That sucks. But in the process, the number one point guard, the 2016 class, you just said you were a late commit. How did Oregon win you over?
I just didn't want to be like everyone else. Everyone was committing to all these schools that were known for winning. And I was like, I kind of want to go do something that no one's done at a school that has the potential to be up there. And Oregon, mm-hmm. I mean, with the funding from Nike.
Yo, Oregon is so dope for people who haven't been to Eugene. I went to UCLA. When we went to Oregon, we had a blast every time. Girls, it was popping, cool little bars. Like, I had a blast in Eugene.
And it's such a Jordan and Phil Knight.
Yes, it's like having Phil Knight come to your game, Tinker Hatfield walk in, like, it's dope. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, what shoes you guys want? And there he's over there like designing Jordans.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's cool. So when I went there for my official, I was like, this could feel like home.
Yeah.
Like football games, everything's about the student athletes mm-hmm. there. Like everything is about sports. So I was like, all right, I want to do something that hasn't been done. I love the coaching staff. And it turned out to be, you know, mm-hmm. great experience.
It's hard to not be a sneakerhead being a hooper, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I'm looking at the ones that are like, it's kind of hard. Yeah.
To many, you're considered the GOAT out there in Oregon, but what was your college experience like with, you know, fandom and just moving along just in your regular day? Obviously, you did what you did on the court, but what was life like off the court for you?
It was gradual, so I think that helped. Like, you know, the first year, people would ask me to take pictures of the team thinking I was the manager. And then it was like, oh, wait, that's who that is. And then it was like, you know, year two, year three, it's like we get to two Final Fours. And then, you know, it's we're beat Team USA and are, you know, the best team in like arguably college sports my senior year. And so it was a gradual kind of climb. But I think the cool thing to see was like we averaged 2,000 fans my first year. And my last year we averaged like 11,000. And so being able to see like the little girls and the boys that would show up to games. And it's just like, this is really what it's about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like about inspiring these kids to want to play and be better. And so that was just a humbling experience. And hopefully I can continue to do that in the pros as well.
Mm, absolutely. The triple-double, you've made it look easy. Somehow you and Russell Westbrook have a knack for that. But do you remember your first one? In college, you had 26.
Damn.
For real, right?
And I got whiffed on a couple of them. My coach wanted to take me out with 9. Mm.
Come on, coach. You got to know better.
That's
than that.
What I'm saying. Come on, man. I wouldn't talk to him for a week. But we'd be up by like 70, and he was like,
but the whole team going to make sure you get that one rebound. That was
everyone's boxing out, and then I'm, Probably high school. I know I had a quadruple-double in high school. Ooh. I had some steals in there, but like our stats were never up in high school. Like all the little billboards was points. Mm-hmm. So I half the time had no idea. I was just
the rest of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to play, and if I was the wing and I was like, rebounding is the easiest way to get the ball. Mm-hmm. So I would just go out there and rebound. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You missed the NIL phase. How big do you think that could have been while you were in college?
I'm hurt.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm real hurt. Mm. It's cool to see these kids making money now. It's hard. Like, you don't have time for a job. Mm-mm. You don't have time for a lot of things. And it's like, if your parents aren't sending you money and helping you out, it's like, it's not easy all the time, like, getting through day to day, right? Like, they have flights. They want to come out and see you. You want to fly home for the holidays. It's like, that stipend isn't that big.
Not doing it.
No. So it would have been definitely a plus, but I think at the end it was kind of a good thing because it wasn't a distraction for me. It was just like grind, hoop, mm-hmm. take care of school, graduate, and let everything else come when the time's there.
Well, that's the one thing I think about. I think it's a double-edged sword to your point right there, because obviously, like you said, if you not making ends meet, that money is great, but then you got to think we're 17, 18 with a couple $100,000. That's going to obviously derail a lot of kids at that time because you can't tell them shit to begin with. So let me get a couple $100,000 to 17, 18 with no kind of money management or anything. That's dangerous, and that's the side they don't talk about.
Yeah, at all. And it's like then you start posting and doing all these media deals, and it's like, well, did you watch film?
Did you forget while you're here?
Yeah, did you go in the gym? Because yeah, right. I used to, I would have had no time. Like, I had practice, I'd work out in the morning, go to school, I'd practice in the evening, and, like, I wouldn't have had time to do anything else.
Describe your relationship with Coach Kelly Graves.
It's an instant smile. We got some good shit coming right here. No, I'm kidding.
You know those coaches that you just have like a love-hate relationship
with? Yeah, thin line. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of them. He knew the buttons to push to get me pissed off. And, I'm really, really thankful for, like, him seeing the value and, you know, bringing me to Oregon and knowing the potential I had. And, if it wasn't for him, who knows what my career would have turned out. So, he's the best. He knew what buttons to push and, you know, what he had to do to kind of get me motivated and going. But he's definitely one of the best coaches that I've had.
What's the best advice he's given you?
I think it would be focusing on the fundamentals. He's so old school. He doesn't like the whole, like, between legs, behind the back, no look pat, like, all these, you know, turnovers. Just make the simple play. And he was so kind of old school, like John Wooden-ish in that way. Like, he always had quotes of you know, John Wooden up on the board, and he was just a simple person and just demanded excellence in the simple tasks.
Yeah.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You said you had unfinished business at Oregon and went back your senior year. Like, that decision, knowing that you was bigger than life at that point and deciding to go back, what brought that decision up? Knowing the bread was right there. You was go to the bank and get whatever you want out of it. It was right there.
It was hard, and I decided within, like, 5 to 10 minutes of, like, the deadline, like the night before.
So you're a last minute person, it sounds like.
Very. Yeah. I just wait to the end and then I get something tells me the right decision. If I do it too early, I have too much time to think.
That's how I feel with packing, and I hate it. Like, I pack my best the morning of, right to the money. Yes. If I pack that shit early, it's a problem.
I just, you know, I was like, okay, how would I feel going? How would I feel staying? And it was like, I didn't feel right telling my team, like, I'm leaving.
Right.
I only had 4 years in college and we had lost. We should have, you know, if we had won a national championship, I think it would have been my last year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but having lost in the final four, it was like, nah, I still want to go and prove, you know, that I have some things that I have to take care of. And sadly, it got cut short. But
due to COVID.
Yeah.
People don't understand that college bond, though, in sports is special. I mean, it's some, obviously, high school is dope. Same thing, I had a blast in high school. But that college bond with the people that you'll have in your corner for the rest of your life, you know, especially if you, like you said, have unfinished business. Like, I got something to go finish. So, yeah, COVID cut the 2020 season short. Yeah.
That was the only shit that was stopping us from winning a national championship, too. Mm, yeah, you're right. Like, once you go pro, you understand, like, college is like the
sheltered.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the pro and it's like every man for themselves. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants a contract. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to, you know, perform. And so mm-hmm. it's a different beast in itself. Yeah. So I'm really happy I stayed and like was able to enjoy like one more year.
Absolutely. April 17th, 2020, the number one overall pick to the New York Liberty. Mm-hmm. What do you remember the most about that moment and how excited was
you? You had a draft party?
Yeah, but it was in the middle of COVID, so there was like seven people there because it would have looked bad on TV.
Right.
It was cool. It was just like I couldn't really hear her say my name. The connection was so bad. But like my family kind of started hitting me, and then I was like, oh shit, I think that was me that they called. Because so, I wasn't gonna expect it. Everyone was like, oh, you know you're going one, and
until
I'm like,
you hear it though.
Until you hear it and sign the little paper, you know, it's not the same. So it was pretty cool. It was like I worked for this my whole life and had always, you know, talked about it in third, fourth grade, like, oh, I want to play in the WNBA. And so it was like pretty surreal once I got drafted, like, oh yeah, I got here and now there's so much more work to do, but I can tell my little self, like, you did it.
I went number one.
Yeah.
You didn't just do it.
Right.
You went number one. Okay.
So your first season is in the Wubble. What was that like?
AAU.
Yeah. I was going up. I didn't want to see none of the other players, so I would go up straight to the room, didn't hang out, didn't bond, grab the food is in the cafeteria and the hotel where everyone was there hanging out, and it's like...
Not you.
No, I play these people tomorrow. Like, I'm not hanging out with you. I'm not hanging out with you. So, or you, from my hotel room, I could look down into the pool and everyone was like hanging out at the pool. And I'm like, y'all stay out there and get sunburnt. And
Your homegirl, Ruthie, got a chip. How you feel about that?
I want her to come over to New York. I'm working on the off-season plans here. I mean, so happy for her. She deserves it. She was on a really good team, and she was able to learn from a lot of those vets. And, I mean, hopefully you could see her in a Liberty jersey here soon. I'm pitching.
That'll be dope.
Fastest player in the WNBA, only six games into your professional career, triple-double, 26, 12, and 10. How is it so easy? What's the secret?
It's really not, but that was pretty cool because a lot of people had told me that I wouldn't be able, in high school, they told me I wouldn't be able to do it in college. In college, they told me I wouldn't be able to do it in the pros. And so, obviously, I only had one last season, which was not okay. I'll be having a lot more next season. But kind of coming back from injury and figuring out, like, oh, yeah, I can still play my game and do what I have to do. At the professional level, it was nice to see. Mm-hmm.
Bad ankle sprain, grade 3, keeps you out the remainder of the season. You're finally here on the big stage, having a good season. An injury cuts that season short. What's the mental process like for you?
I'm still going through it. A year and a half, 2 years later, still rehabbing. And that was my first, like, injury.
Real one.
Yeah, so it took a lot, like, physically, I think that's the easiest part, like figuring out, like, you're going to work and you're going to rehab. That part's not the issue. I think mentally, like, I came back too soon and was eager to play last year in my first season. And then it was like, well, you're playing at 40-50%.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's a whole process of, like, just be patient, work hard, get really healthy, and then your game will do what your game has to do. So, yeah, it was unfortunate, but I think seeing bigger picture, it's like I'd rather, you know, endure that in year one than in year 19 because my body's at 21 is going to react, you know. Yeah.
I mean, but it's to me, that's dope to hear you say that, the big picture, because as a young athlete, we normally don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, I got to get back out there. Like, I can play, I'll be all right. But to understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint at a young age, it's important.
Well, and I think the big one was the pressure too. Like, New York. And it was like, it was in my third game in the season. And it was like, it was so anticipated, like, this season. And then be like, yeah, I'm out. And then all of last year, it was like I was playing on, like, a wooden leg, and it hurt. And then it's like, then you see the people switch, like, oh, she's not really good. She's not.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, this is really, like, I just have to focus on me. I have to get right, and then everything else will take care of itself.
Well, you locked in. First game back, show up with the Mamba jersey on. Game winner, Barclays. What's going on?
I just had to set the tone.
Yeah. let it be known.
Let it be known. I know y'all probably forgot, but let me go and remind y'all. First game back. Game winner.
Yeah. I honestly dreamt about it the night before. I really did. That's no bullshit. Like, I really was like, I'm going to hit a game winner if it gets to that point tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so right when coach was drawing up the play, like, I was just smiling. I was like, oh, yeah, here it is. Mm-hmm. And so it was cool. It was like my family was there, was able to watch me for the first time since college because of the bubble COVID, season. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it was rewarding to be able to have done that at home in front of a crowd for the first time and kind of just like a pat on the back for like what I had endured.
Did the Mamba jersey rub off on you walking in there? Did you?
Oh, yeah. I put it on when I left, too. Like, yeah. Don't forget.
Right. Represent at all times.
What was your thoughts on your first taste of the playoffs?
It was really, it was intense, and I love it. I love the whole.
A whole different level than regular season,
yes.
right?
Yeah. It was, it's like you're not resting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're playing 40 if you have to. There's no, you know, you don't have tomorrow to be like, oh, I'll play better today.
Right.
It's like, you know, now they changed it, though. Now there's. It's a 3-game series for all the teams instead of a 1-and-done.
Is that first round?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last teams get a 3-series, which is cool. But I like the pressure of like...
On it. This is it.
Yeah. This is it. 1-and-done. And
like football.
Every possession counts.
Yeah. Every possession, every basket, every turnover. Like it felt like March Madness, which mm-hmm. was fun because I hadn't felt that since mm-hmm. my junior year. So I was like, oh, this is exciting.
Another level of the game. How are you getting ready for the new season, 2022?
Well, I just deadlifted 220 pounds yesterday, so.
I probably pulled both hamstrings.
Damn, my back hurts.
I'm pulling a hamstring thinking about it.
I don't know if it's my back or my, I don't know. What is it, kidneys? What is it right now? Just thinking
liver.
About that.
yeah, I'm trying to get bulletproof for that.
Yeah.
But really the main part of it is physically, like getting really strong, feeling comfortable, confident, and then... hooping as well. Yeah, getting like being able to work on the things that I wasn't able to last off season when I was just able to rehab.
Right.
So I'm excited. I feel like it's gonna be a good one.
Where do you feel like you're at health wise?
I'd say like 80%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have 3 more months to the last 20% is like conditioning mm-hmm. and then like being able to shoot and work out when I'm really tired, like the end of the game mm-hmm. stuff. So yeah. Other than that though, a shot feels really good and yeah.
That's like riding a bike for you. Yeah. Give us an average day. Average day in LA. You say you train here in the offseason. So mm-hmm. when does it start? When does it end?
Usually 9 a.m. is like court time. So I go like 9 to 10, 9 to 10:30 as of now, just because I have 3 months to kind of mm-hmm. build up. And then I go to PT rehab for 2.5 hours.
Hold on, let me rewind a little bit. Let's break it down for all the youngsters who are watching. So what kind of stuff are you working on the court?
So now it's more repetition. So it's more like spot shots, off the move, touches around the basket. So the duration is shorter, but it's more intense and harder.
Game speed
to just build up the endurance to be able to go like a 2-hour session is like simulate a game.
Right.
So that's where I'm at now for the next probably 3 weeks. Okay. And then we'll go into the next phase. So doing that, and then I go 2.5 hours of strength PT rehab, which is like lifting, massage,
band work,
core, arms.
The tedious shit. Mm-hmm. You got to do stuff you don't like you love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the little things, rolling mm-hmm. out.
Ugh, the worst.
Everything. So usually 2.5 hours of that, and then I'll either have another PT session or I'll go back home and do like... ride the bike or do some kind of like cardio with less impact. And then hot tub, cold tub, Normatec, watch the NBA games that are on TV.
It's a hell of a day.
Yeah.
It's a pro day.
A Hooper's day.
All yeah. I do is just add a joint to it. That's a pro day.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our brother Kobe now. Mm-hmm. You know, we love hearing mm-hmm. stories about him on this show. Obviously, he meant so much to both of us. And you had a very special bond with him. Talk to us about when you first met him, what that was like.
Yeah, that was, when was that? 3 years ago? I would say 3 years ago. He and Gigi and some of her teammates came to my game. We played at USC. So we played here, and our coaches were like, oh, there's going to be a surprise. We didn't know what. Like, mm-hmm. I hadn't had a relationship with him before that. Mm-hmm. We just, like, followed each other on Instagram. Right. And So I'm like, all right. And I'm out there shooting with, like, you know, an hour and a half before the game starts. Not a lot of people are out there. And then they walk in and I was like, is this the surprise? Right. Because there, nothing else tops this. Right. So this has to be the surprise.
Right.
And he can't, he, like, he watched the whole game, came to talk to our team after in the locker room. That's when we, like, exchanged numbers, talked. And then ever since then, it was like workouts, you know, I helped coach, you know, Gigi's team with him. So ever since then, it was like we just clicked and became really good friends.
He put you through workouts?
Yeah.
Intense, right? Attention to detail is insane.
Yes, but it was not as much shooting as you think. No. It's almost little to no shooting.
It's technical. Well, he worked my twins out. So my twins, for their 10th birthday, we took a surprise out to Orange County. He worked them out. Very little shooting.
Footwork. Yeah.
You know,
all it was like fundamental. It was literally like you had a ball and it was like, all right, pivot off your toe for like 10 minutes. Let it get tired and like back pivot, forward pivot, side pivot, like all these pivots. I'm like, are we going to shoot?
No, it wasn't about that.
Yeah, it was all the little, the little things. And it was cool because like all Gigi's teammates were doing them and we're doing them really well. And I was like, this is
well, he practiced that team. Not to cut you off, he practiced that team. I think he told me, like, because that's how we were. Obviously, we were close, but in that we'd always see each other because I was coaching twins, he's coaching Gigi. I'm like, you know, how often do you guys practice? Like, no, 6 days a week. You know, I got these girls running the triangle with their eyes closed. I'm like, what the fuck, Cove? Like, are you kidding me? Like, and he was not playing.
No, he was not playing. And it was long practices. Yes. It was like 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, and they showed up happy, excited every single day. They loved it.
Yeah, I love that. Best advice he gave you?
Real sharpness comes without effort.
Real sharpness comes without effort.
Yeah.
Means you got to put the work in.
Yeah. Mm. And he told me that we were like walking out of the gym. He had the little bag on his back with the balls that he carried and was just like, and just told me that and then like walked away. I was like,
I'm gonna leave you with that.
Okay.
A gym.
Yeah. And then the whole time I was like, okay, this is what he stands for. Like, mm-hmm. put in the work. And then when you're out there, it's like, oh, it looks so easy. It comes so effortless. It's like, yeah, because you put the work in behind the scenes. Right. Yeah.
Where were you at when you heard the news?
We were about to play Oregon State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the locker room, probably like literally 30 minutes to tip off. Yeah, in the locker room. And it was like, do I play? Do I not play? Because I like, don't even remember that day.
Right.
And I was like, no, I didn't warm up, but I was like, I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And we had not beaten Oregon State at Oregon State. So it was like a huge game for us, ESPN game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the game, but we won. So that was good. I think I like did decent, but I was not there.
You were just somewhere else.
Yeah,
right.
I was not there.
Right.
Yeah.
2:24, you spoke at the memorial service. What was that like?
It was like, I was nervous. I was emotional. Like it was awesome to see how many people were there
mm-hmm.
that were touched and had some story about him. Like all that, like half the whole NBA was there to be able to see all like friends and family and everyone that really came together was really cool. But I mean, it was hard. And the fact that I had a game later.
Right, I was about to say, you did something special that day as well. Yeah. I mean, two very special things, obviously.
Yeah. And so, you know, going up there, I was like, oh my gosh, like the youngest player, your person to come up here. I was like nervous, emotional. And it was just like, I have to just do it. I have to just speak. And it's like, don't worry about everyone else that's here. It's like, you're just talking to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what my agent told me. And I was like,
dope.
I like that. And that, mm-hmm. I think that helped a lot and kind of calm down a lot of my fears.
Michael Jordan's speech, I thought it was something that was needed. I wasn't expecting it. You know, obviously Kobe was our Jordan, but we saw Jordan too. And to see that kind of compassion and love and the kind of relationship you have with Kobe, how did that strike you?
Yeah, I was interested to see how his speech was going to go when I heard that he was going to be up there. Because, yeah, it was that kind of like little brother mm-hmm. mentorship. And it's hard when... I mean, you guys know when you're playing against these players, it's like you idolize them, but then it's also like, I want to kick your ass.
Right.
So it's hard, but it was just this level of like respect between the two and for him to be able to go up there and he cried and, mm-hmm. you know, the meme of that he said it was going to be a meme and just, you know, to be able to, you know, see how much it hurt him, but how much he meant to him mm-hmm. was, you know, we all feel it now when we watch all these players that are doing his moves and stuff. Like, that's really what he was to all of us and to your guys' kids and, mm-hmm. you know, all of that.
Yeah.
To see MJ, though.
That's something different.
That really touched me, bro. You know what I mean? Because you know how we all feel about him. But to see MJ, everybody wondered the relationship. But mm-hmm. to see him actually show his real feelings and how he felt about Kobe, I think everybody needed to hear
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I You know
agree.
What I mean? Everybody,
Especially
the world
like
needed
said, to
hear
like
that.
Especially like the little brother shit, like yeah. knowing Kobe. You yeah. know what I mean? Like you yeah. don't picture, but only Mike could say some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So
yeah.
just to have that. In true Mamba fashion, as you mentioned, you spoke at the memorial, then went back and became the first, not just woman, but NCAA player to have 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, and 1,000 rebounds that night. What was that 24-hour span like?
That's crazy.
Well, I literally spoke, got on a plane.
Was it private?
Yes.
Okay, that's how they're treating you then,
yeah.
Huh? That's how they're treating you, yes.
That was the only way I'd get back to the game.
right.
The donor, hey. Ed Miletus, I'm still friends with him
to this day. Shout out Ed. I might need it too.
He let me hop on the plane, get there, speak, literally fly. I didn't even, like, warm up, none of that. Fly back. And I think it hit me, like, later on. It didn't hit me, like, right when I was speaking, but, like, before the game and stuff, like, I threw up the entire, like, 3 hours leading up to the game. And for, like, the week after, like, I probably had lost, like, 10 pounds. So I think it was, like, I didn't warm up. I didn't stretch. I had just put my jersey on and was like, all
right. Autopilot.
Yeah, I'm just going to go play. And so... Mm-hmm. A lot of people were talking like, are you going to get 10 rebounds? Are you going to, cause I think I needed 9. And I was like, it's going to happen on mm-hmm. this day because it's supposed to happen.
It's meant to be.
Like it was, you know, it was meant to be. And so to be able to do that on like 224 and that ended up being my 26th and last and the addition of the two, it was like, you couldn't write it any better.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's a beautiful thing. You've developed a solid friendship with Vanessa mm-hmm. and the girls right now. Can you speak to that a little bit? I mean, I see, you know, to see smiles on their face at all is amazing. But, you know, we see you in pictures every once in a while and you hanging out with the mm-hmm. girls now. So how's that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I was so close to Kobe and G and I didn't want, you know, that to get in the way of, like, me not being there for Natalia and for the little ones and for Vanessa. And so I love the relationship and friendship we have. You know, we talk all the time and just being able to be there for them. They're yeah. there for me. Laugh with them, cry, whatever it is, you know, it's just so important. And what she's doing for her kids is, you know, hats off. And
superwoman.
I don't think really absolutely superwoman, superpowers. And I don't think she also, you know, gets a lot of credit for that because she is one amazing human being.
That's dope. Shout out, Vanessa. Building a brand. You found a way to do that. We see you in State Farm commercials with CP. How'd that situation come about?
Yeah, that was really cool. It was my first one, actually. I think it was like one of my first aired commercials, too. So I was a little nervous, but it was cool. It was like my first time having to shoot on a commercial and like make a shot. And
is that more pressure than a big game to you?
A little bit, yeah.
That's crazy.
I was
think
like,
about that, right?
Do I have to like make it? And mm-hmm. they're like, well, no, we could like, you know, make it go in. And I was like, no, like,
make this shit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't brick this.
Right.
So yeah, it was awesome, and to still be able to see it like mm-hmm. playing and
yeah,
people reaching out.
State Farms are crazy.
Yeah, they're on
yeah,
every single
every
commercial.
Game,
was it one of those commercials shooting with Chris and another guy where y'all crying, laughing the whole time?
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's funny. But we were able to work out after. Like, we had, like, an 8-hour shoot day, and then he was going to the gym. And so we had talked before. I was like, yeah, I'd love to work
yeah.
out. So we ended up working out, like, 2 hours after that, finished at, like, 11 p.m., and I was like, this is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just able
What's
to
that like? Out. I mean, he's one of the greats of all time. You know, he's a neighbor of mine, and our kids are good friends, so he flies the twins out to Phoenix to see, but Chris is a dope dude. I know you guys have developed a friendship and mm-hmm. he's, you know, supported you at games and stuff. What's it like becoming friends with CP?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, being able to work out with him and see what he does and then, you know, jumping in on drills, shooting drills, all these things. And then, you know, now seeing him being one of the best, you know, point guards the league's going to end up seeing is really cool because that's the way that he masters his craft, like through mm-hmm. his practice. And so I was really able to witness that and yeah, it's nice to see him come out support. Although I don't know who he was rooting for, Phoenix or us when we were in Phoenix, but right. I think he was rooting for me. So
you, yeah. But the other players, team, it teams. Happens.
Yes.
So at 24, you led the league in jersey sales. Slam Magazine labeled you, no pressure, the next queen of New York. When you hear stuff like that, you know, a girl from Walnut Creek, California, what kind of stuff starts going through your mind?
I don't think I'm going to really process it until I'm done playing. I think it's going to be one of those things, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, but I just have so much more that I want to do and accomplish, and I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface right. yet. So I'm really just focusing on, you know, the controllables, and I know it kind of sounds cliche, but I'm really like that, so.
Mm. Worrying about only what you control is a good thing, but the title, The Next Queen of NY, got to be, it sound dope. That sound dope.
That sound dope.
You can stay modest as you want.
Yeah. That sounds dope. That sounds dope.
You also work with our brother KD and Rich over there at Boardroom. Mm-hmm. What's that experience like? I love because when we played, it wasn't so much about business and basketball. You know, it's just let's hoop and then go have fun when we're done. Now there's so much attention to detail about saving your money and building your own individual brand. Obviously, teaming up with, you know, one of the greatest we've ever seen. And then Rich is a beautiful genius mind. What's it been like working with those two over there?
It's been amazing, but you know, you're right. It's like when you're younger and back when you guys played, it was just basketball. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as much like branding right. and investing and figuring out, you know, your brand partners and how mm-hmm. they have to align with your brand. And so now it's really evolved, and I kind of think I was just thrown into the fire, you know, graduating, joining, you know, the league, number one pick, and it's like you're getting all these brands, you know, thrown at you, and it's like figuring out like, okay, what do I want to do? Who do I want to partner with? And so being able to, you know, align with Boardroom and Kevin, being in New York and just being able to stop by the office and pick his brain and figure out, all right, we should invest here and here, and this is why. And
they
also,
kill it.
Yeah,
they kill it.
They're really good, and, mm-hmm. and Rich is honestly one of the best that I've been able to like witness.
Yeah. Talk us about your relationship with Steph Curry. You mentioned it earlier, you know, being a Walnut Creek girl and growing up, and Steph is out that way. What's your relationship with him like?
I've watched him since I was when he came into the league. And so, you know, when I was finally like able to meet him and then was in college and, you know, I almost signed with Curry Brand because of him and our relationship and being able to, you know, open gym and go to his games and have that relationship where I can just pick up the phone and call him. You know, when he called me right when I got hurt and, mm-hmm. you know, helped me out because he had ankle injuries early on in his career yeah. too. So, I mean, what he's doing for the game is something, you know, we might not see many more times mm-hmm. from players. And so it's really cool. And I'm just proud of him for the player and for the person that he is.
Right. Now, he's like the, you can create a superstar, like he's the one. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one. And to be able to handle the pressure and continue to live the right way. I mean, obviously, LeBron did it too. But Steph's kind of like the no tattoo, the golden boy type
yeah.
thing situation. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy. He got tattoos.
Yeah, they're hidden.
He does, but they're like hidden. Small yeah. and hidden.
Here and
yeah. Or like right here. Yeah, they're small and hidden.
Man,
yeah.
Shout out to Babyface
Assassin. He has a baby face. Yeah, that's what it is. Babyface Assassin. Yeah.
Who are your top five players right now, today, that you tune into, male or female?
Besides me and Matt.
Yeah. Are you guys included in my list?
No.
Keep
no,
us out.
That's with you.
Keep us out.
Wait, male?
Male or female? Like, if there's any OGs, you mentioned Diana Taurasi early, or NBA guys, who are you checking out right now?
Oh, so they have to be playing?
No.
Oh, just in general?
Just in general.
This is the most controversial question that
here we go.
We got more. Trust me. We've got
dun,
more.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, MJ, Kobe, Kevin, Shaq's up there. Diana Taurasi is going to end up being probably top five all time. Mm. Sue Bird's going to end up being
yes
in the top five all time. So that's my answer. Steph Curry.
Let me ask you about my favorite female player of all time. We just had on the show, Dawn Staley.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Dawn Staley?
Well, obviously, we haven't played each other in college, so
right.
we kind of passed that one. But she coached me a year at USA Basketball, and
okay.
I just like her demeanor. She's like quiet.
Y'all similar.
Really?
She's tough nose.
Yeah. She's like quiet, but like very to the point, elite at what she does, mm-hmm. was a great player and even better coach now at what she's doing. And so I want to keep like picking her brain because she played that, you know, point guard position in the Olympics. And so I'm hopefully going to be able to get a better relationship with her.
Yeah, dope.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Best live game you've seen?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You can thank Rich.
Yeah, that's a...
The We Believe playoffs. Did you catch any of them games?
Yeah.
Who?
At Oracle?
Yeah.
Or Poppin'.
Yeah.
And I had those courtside seats because we're like $300 for a courtside seat.
Yeah,
because
it's crazy that people don't get it.
Yes. Yeah.
Whole building smell like tree.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, it was crazy. Honestly, one of those games when I was younger had to be like Andres Biedrins, like all those guys. I was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Goosey.
I love it. Hell yeah.
That's cool.
Predictions. We're at the halfway point in the NBA season. Some teams are still kind of finding their footing. But who do you see in the finals?
The Warriors and the Nets.
Ooh, that's going to be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
A dark horse pick outside of those two teams?
I would say could be Chicago.
Yeah, I like Chicago.
Yeah, that's his dark horse. That's his dark horse.
Pick. Yeah. Going back to Kobe, I think he really shined a light on female sports, obviously through Jeej, and the growth it's kind of taken on since he's kind of put his foot in there, and then it's kind of along with the same rise of you kind of coming into the WNBA. Do you feel, like you said in college, your game started at 2,000 people a game, now it's 11,000. Do you feel just a growing support behind your guys' game these days?
I do. I definitely do. And it definitely started with him, and I think a lot of the NBA is really starting to transition. I think it's also like these guys are starting to have daughters and have sisters, and it's like,
Stu got a whole flock of them.
Yeah, I know.
And none of them play basketball. Yeah.
But I think it's important to see, like, having those NBA players come to the games with their daughters and, you know, showing them that it is possible to be an elite athlete and play. And he did it, you know, just by showing up and, and, you know, representing us and vouching for us, wearing the WNBA sweatshirts all the time. And now it's like you see football players wearing them and everyone wants them. So it's cool to see how he changed that, and I think it's still changing. Mm-hmm. There's still so much, you know, that needs to be done, but I think it's cool seeing, you know, people in power start seeing the appreciation.
I think a lot of, obviously, I think it brought new eyes to it, but I think a lot of us supported it, but we just didn't support it publicly. And not that we were hiding it, but it just wasn't like, yeah, because I've always watched WNBA, but I've just never, you know, I think now that, like you said, people are speaking on it and really showing support is what kind of moves the needle, because you guys have support, but I think him, obviously, his presence helps, but then, like you said, people just kind of repping the brand. I mean, that's how it grows. So I think we got our WNBA switches last year, right? I just had to get
Gina do a great job of keeping us engaged with the WNBA and the WNBA players, but Kobe rubbed off off on everybody. We all got a part to play, and we all love the game. And like Don Staley says, it's basketball. Regardless if you men or man or woman, it's basketball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we all have the same feeling about the game.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, that's, and it's, it, the media plays such a big part in that Facts. Too. You know, it's, we'll do something, and then someone in the NBA will do something similar, but it's like they get all the recognition Facts. And we don't. And it's like we put up the same numbers or even better. More. And so it was cool to see, like, he didn't do it for the fame or he didn't do it to be talked about, but he shut a lot of people up about it yeah. because he showed, like, no, this is important and this is where I'm going to invest my time mm-hmm. in. And I think it shut up a lot of haters and kind of was like, oh, yeah, he's right. Like, we should be yeah. you paying more attention to this.
We understand it different, though, because we understand what y'all go through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The preparation, you know what I'm saying? Being away from your families the all grind, along. I was yeah. in the gym. Like, we understand that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's important to us that we look, y'all get looked at as equal mm-hmm. as the NBA. It's important. Absolutely. The power of social media, how you view it? I mean, we all know it's powerful.
It
how
is.
How do you handle it?
I'm really a low-key person, so I don't love putting up a bunch of stuff on social media. I know it's kind of part of the new age with, like, you, do your sons have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. so it's
my
like.
My seven-year-old has Instagram.
TikTok, yes. Instagram. Yeah. But with that said, you do speak your mind on important issues when you need be.
I do,
That's
yeah.
That's one thing I love about you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I'll talk my shit when I have to.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, it's powerful. And I think now it's like, you know, when I was younger, we weren't able to really see what NBA players were like. I wasn't able to see what you guys were doing. I was able to see what you guys were doing on the court when right. I was at the games.
The process.
But like, I wasn't able to be like, okay, this is what he's doing today or whatever. So sometimes it's like, I try to make sure, like, there's a seven-year-old that's watching my Instagram right now. And like, what do they see? And it's like, all right, I'm battling an injury. How am I staying positive? What am I doing? And you don't really realize sometimes that really can change someone's life with yeah, what absolutely. They're dealing with. So I really try and, you know, stay mindful of like, I'm a low-key person, but also, like, I want to do the best I can and reach people in places like Europe and right. Asia, like, places that I might not be able to, like, actually be there.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even have to play basketball. Like, they look up to you, and anything you go through, they just correlate it to their life with the situation that they're yeah. dealing with. It might not even be basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why well, saying you get through this ankle injury, and it encouraged me to get through what I was going through at the time. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. means a lot to a lot of people. Candace Parker, talk about her for a second.
Is she coming back? Have you guys heard? Because I would
I
love
know.
To know.
We don't have the inside. We were trying
know.
To get her on the show. She keeps Hollywooding us. Now that she won a ring at the crib, we might
but
never get her.
What would you guys do? You won a ring. You could go back for another year, or you could finish your career on a on
I was one. Pushed out the league. What, so
is,
I'm,
what is she, 15 years in?
I think it's 15, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's got, what, two rings? I would probably ride off on that high horse, especially because business after basketball has already started.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what, you know, was fun for me was, you know, life after basketball had started before I was finished playing. So when the transition I made, it was smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But obviously each person is different, but she's doing a great thing. I mean, obviously she's doing a great job. In
AP player of the year.
Outside the space.
It's cool. And I think the hard part is like the competitive nature in you of like,
yeah.
I'm still healthy. I can still play. And I think that's going to be interesting. But to see what she's doing on the court, but also off the court and just being able to represent the WNBA, but also women on, you know, on ESPN, mm-hmm. on all these shows, it's cool. And I've gotten to know her a little bit, you know, through Vanessa and, mm-hmm. and through the league. And so I'm excited to see what she does, but super proud and happy for her winning mm-hmm. back in Chicago in her hometown.
Becky Hammon was real close to becoming the first NBA women's coach, but she's in Vegas now. So give me your thoughts on her, Becky Hammon.
Yeah, I was ready to see her make that jump in the NBA. You know, I know it's political.
Yep.
I know how it works, and but that doesn't mean I think she said it best. The door's not closed.
Right.
I think, you know, that door will be open, and she might be the first one to be able to knock it down and,
right.
and get that job. I think she's respected through the league, you know, coaching the G League and being under Pop for so long, but I think it's great for the league to have our league to have someone mm-hmm. you know who's played in it, coached at the highest level, and then be able to come back and kind of like pay it forward for the next generation of players who's wanting to do something similar. Is I'm excited to see what she does in Vegas, mm-hmm. just not when they play
not
us.
Against
right,
you guys.
Right, yeah. right.
All right, coming down to the end, quick hitters. So first thing to come to mind, shoot. Your welcome to the WNBA moment was.
I think I got my shot blocked to like the third row.
You remember by who?
It might have been Liz Cambage.
Oh. Big Liz.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah. I got to get a little floater in now. Yeah. I can't make it all the way to the basket.
That's funny.
You, Oscar Robertson, and Russell Westbrook on a team in a 3-on-3 game, right? Who owns points, rebounds, and assists? You can only choose one for each.
Mine's assists.
Okay, okay. So you're going to lead in assists.
I would say Russell will be points.
Turnovers. Oh, excuse me, my bad. Yeah. What'd you say?
Points.
Hey, Russ, I work out with his brother. I ain't got nothing
That's
to do with that
boy.
Shit.
Yeah. That's a joke.
So point, you said points would be Russ?
Yeah.
And then rebounds would be Oscar?
Oscar, yeah.
Solid question. The funniest thing that's happened to you recently?
That's a good question. No one ever asks that. Yeah.
Rosé.
No one ever asks that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Tracy.
All right, T.
The funniest thing that's happened to me recently, my brother be saying some funny shit sometimes.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, today, like, I was doing push-ups at PT, and he was over there making some comments about how I was looking weak. And I'm like, don't make me laugh while I'm doing push-ups, please. So I would just say that.
Are you guys so... You guys still close? Is he out here right now?
He comes. Yeah, okay. He comes out. He just graduated. But yeah, we're always really close.
Even though y'all twins, he's a big bro?
No, he's little bro.
He's still a little bro.
Because you're older,
but he's
right?
Like, I'm older, but he's like 6'6". So
oh, he's big.
He's okay. Big. Yeah, so he, that was always.
Oh, so he definitely hates
see,
that you could
work. My sister's a year
here.
Older than me, but I'm big brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm big bro.
Yeah. No, he's, but he's like. You know when you're like 23 or 24 years old, it's like he's so immature still.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's trying
so
to figure
maybe he can't take the title. Bro when he's he can't like 32, take the title. But at the moment right now, I'm like, bro, you're a child still.
He's so, still living life.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Five dinner guests. Like, can they be my friends?
Whoever you
Anybody.
Want. It's your table.
It's my table. Kobe, Jeej, for sure. Obama.
Mm, nice.
My mom. And then I would say Tom Brady.
That's a nice table.
TB12.
Top five greatest female athletes of all time, excuse me.
Ooh, that's hard. Serena Williams.
Have you seen King Richard?
No, not yet. But I heard it's really good.
I just watched it two nights ago.
Really?
Good job, Will.
I was like this.
Really?
I was trying. Yeah, I couldn't
good.
Do it.
Really good. It gives you a whole different perspective on their father. But go
like
ahead.
Growing up. Okay, yeah. I heard that. So I would say Serena. I honestly, Naomi Osaka is going to be.
Yes.
Special.
She's awesome.
Yeah, and then I think basketball bias, I'm going to go with like Diana. I feel like I'm missing some other sports, so I'm trying to think about.
Track.
Soccer. I'm going with those three as of now. Because I don't want to miss out on someone that I know is there.
Fill in later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which three artists' songs do you have in your rotation right now? Who are you listening to?
Drake.
What song?
His new album. I still listen to it.
Certified Lover Boy.
Yeah.
That's Jack. Jack is Certified Lover Boy.
Yeah, I still listen to the new album.
I can't deny that.
But I'm on the shuffle of like 20 like hot top hits. So it's like him, Pop Smoke, ASAP, like just whatever's on.
Hot right now.
Whatever's getting me going for my workouts.
Gotcha.
Three shows you currently binge watch.
I'm literally not watching any show. NBA TV, ESPN is like all that I watch at the moment.
Happy basketball.
I love it.
If you could have a guest on our show, who would it be?
But
before you answer it.
But
you have to help us get your answer on this show. Man, I done got good with answering that question. I used to struggle with it at first.
I would say...
Third grade reading level.
Mm-hmm. Second.
I think Steve Nash.
Ooh. We had Steve Nash.
I was about to say, come on, cut it out. We had...
Okay, let me know.
It was a remote episode, though.
It was remote, yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah. I love Steve Nash because he's one of the only people on this earth that still has George Floyd as his profile and his profile pic on his Instagram.
That's dope.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does.
Yep. And, you know, that was my guy.
Yeah,
so.
I know. I love that. Okay, so not Steve Nash is canceled.
Yeah, we had him already. Give us somebody else.
And I have to help, so I have to know them.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding,
in
ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. All right, let me think. All right, Naomi Osaka.
Ooh, good call.
Yes,
I like that.
I love her, too.
We'll take her. Ding, 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 winner
is. You know
why
I love her? Huh. First press conference for George Floyd. Her and Cardi were in the audience, and nobody knew. And they just stood there, like, regular, like everybody else, no security or nothing. It was like 3,000 people out there, and they were just standing there.
Dope.
Like regular people. So shout out to her. Yeah. Yes, we would love to have her on the show. Cardi just dropped a new album, too. I got an album coming. Got to pick that up.
Check them out. Well, before you get going, we wanted to give you a little...
Yeah, you got to leave some All the Smoke gear. We got to see what the All the Smoke gear.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Get healthy. We want to see you all the way healthy next year.
We feel good when we see the greats in our All the Smoke gear. We've seen Draymond and the rest of those guys wear it to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see you in it.
I'm wearing it.
No
you know
pressure.
What I mean? So I can repost it. Repost it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a wrap. Sabrina Ionescu. I did it. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
And
cut.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.